a lot of you. My name's Steve and I'm the minister here. And it is a fantastic way to start Christmas morning. In fact, for some of you, this is the middle of your Christmas morning because you've been up since the kookaburras started at 4:30 or so. Here at church, we've been looking at some psalms around Christmas, and they cause us to focus on God and who he is. And I'm going to pray that that's what happens this morning. I had anticipated that you would have the Bible passage in front of you in the notice sheet, but I don't know that that will be the case. So let's assume you don't. I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll look at Psalm 111. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us your word to us in the Bible. Thank you for what we've been able to sing this morning. Thank you for what we've been able to hear read as well. Lord, we pray that as we look at Psalm 111, we pray that you would grow our appreciation of just who you are. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you think of the last time someone paid you a compliment? I need to chalk them up and remember. It might be a simple thing. It might be you might have been complimented on how well you'd mowed the lawn. You might have been complimented on how well you did at wrapping the kids' presents last night. Or it could be the cup of coffee that you made this morning. You might have been complimented on that. It's nice to be acknowledged. It's nice to be praised. It's nice to be thanked. And it's even better when you're praised in the hearing of other people, don't you think? When was the last time you paid someone else a compliment? Some of us are quick at doing it, some of us are slower. Maybe it was when the kids brought home their school reports and you said, well done, you know, trying to find some positive in there. Or it could be when your husband cooked the barbecue, you got a fantastic meal. Paid a compliment that way. We praise someone when we compliment them. We acknowledge their achievement. We declare how capable they are. And it's even better when we tell other people how good they are at doing stuff. Praise, admiration, approval, to extol, they're all the same sort of idea. We can praise someone by singing their praises. And thankfully for people like me, you can praise someone without actually singing their praises. You can even do it quietly. Psalm 110, like most of the psalms we have in the Bible, it invites us, in the first verse, to praise God, to praise Yahweh. It's a very short psalm, and it's uncomplicated. It opens by inviting us to praise God, to compliment God for all that he is and all that he's done, to tell others about God's goodness. It opens with inviting us to praise God, and then it closes by telling us that God deserves to be praised. So it says, to him belongs eternal praise. And as you think about that, if you're not praising God, you're doing the wrong thing. Isn't that what it's saying? Because God deserves our praise. If you're not praising God, you're not doing right. Then in verse 10, so looking back up a little bit, in verse 10 it says, fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. It's like saying acknowledging God is basic. It's fundamental. It's required. It's essential. You are foolish if you don't acknowledge God and give him the praise that's his. Elsewhere in the Bible it actually says it like that. It says the fool says in his heart, there's no God. So if you've been dragged here to church this morning, or if you're here by obligation, then I've probably just made your day by showing you that the Bible says you're a fool if you don't acknowledge God and give him praise. It's nice to get off on the right foot on Christmas morning. But I think most people enjoy some honesty, appreciate honesty and frankness. And if Christmas 2018 was the first time you actually appreciated the fact that you need to be giving praise to God, well, that's a good thing. As we read this psalm, what we're doing is we're reading poetry. It's what all Australian men love to do. But it's poetry, but it's also part of the Bible. It's God's word. As Christians, we hold the Bible up as God's word to us. It's written by humans, but written by humans who are inspired by God in such a way that as we read this psalm, we're hearing what God wants us to hear. And it's teaching us about God. Psalm 111 verse 10 says, wisdom begins by acknowledging God, by respecting him. by fearing him. And then verse tells us God's instructions or his precepts, they're wise, they're good. So all we've done is we've looked at the beginning and the end of this psalm. It's a psalm that encourages us to praise God, tells us that we should be praising God. And as you look through the middle of the psalm, as you gloss your eyes through the middle of the psalm, it gives us reasons to praise God. We ought to praise God for everything he's done. We ought to praise God because he's faithful. We ought to praise God for his salvation. So as you look through it, you see all that the emphasis on what he's done, his works it talks about. So verse 2, great are his works. Verse 3, glorious and majestic are his deeds. Verse 4, he has caused his wonders to be remembered. His wonders, the amazing things he's done. I mean, we've sung about the amazing way he sent his son. His wonders should be remembered. Verse 6, he has shown the power of his works. Verse 7, the works of his hands. This psalm says we can praise God because of everything he has done, everything he's doing, and everything he will do. That's the reason. That's enough reason to praise God. The pages of the Old Testament record much of what God has done from creation, the way he made the world, to the way that he saved the people of Israel, made them his own, the way that he redeemed them. All God's actions, they're worthy of us acknowledging. In fact, we ought to acknowledge them and praise him for how good he is. So the psalm, it draws our attention to his deeds, his works, and then it draws our attention to his faithfulness. So in verses 7 and 8 in particular, the faithfulness of his teaching, his precepts, what he instructs, what he teaches. Verse 8 says his instructions, they stand forever. We praise God because he's faithful. We praise God because of his deeds. And in verse 9, we praise him because of his salvation, the way that he redeems, the way that he saves. At the time that this psalm was written, I'm fairly sure the writer of the psalm would have been reflecting on the way that God redeemed the Israelites, saved the Israelites, the amazing way he did that. God's salvation, it's worthy of praise that he would redeem anyone, that he would save anyone, that he would do that because of his faithfulness to promises that he made to Abraham. So this psalm calls on all of us to praise God, to acknowledge him because of his deeds, because of his faithfulness, because of his redemption. And you'll notice, if you do happen to have the passage in front of you, verse 9, I've bolded it out, because that's the verse that sits behind the Christmas story as you read it in Luke's Gospel. So verse 9 says, God provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. That's the only appropriate response to all that God has done, is to praise him. Praise him to his face, praise him to other people. Declare how great and how good he is. And so you hear the echoes of this as you read through the Christmas story. So we've been reading through Luke's Gospel at home. You read the account of how the angel comes to Zechariah and says, you're going to have a son. You're going to call him John. He'll prepare the way for the Messiah to come. And then the angel goes to Mary, gives her the message that she, as a virgin, is going to have a child. As you reflect on those two people, Zechariah and Mary, and as you read the way that Luke tells us about those two people, you can hear echoes of the psalm in the background. Zechariah, start with Zechariah. He's someone I think that we can relate to because he's a little bit slow to catch on, like most of us. God sent his messenger to Zechariah, told him that in his old age he would have a child, and in Luke 1:18, his response, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man. My wife is well along in years. And so Zechariah is struck dumb. Is he struck dumb because he's not trusting enough? Was he struck dumb to stop him saying anything stupid? It could be both. But then when John is born and Zechariah names him John, using the tablet, writes, not the iPad, the piece of paper, writes it down. They say, okay, his name's John. And then it says, immediately his mouth was opened and he began to speak, praising God. That's the only right response to the amazing way God works. And then Luke 1 verse 68 tells us his song, it opens with, praise be the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. You can hear echoes there of Psalm 111 verse 9. Praise God because he hears us. Praise God because he redeems. And then if you think about Mary's response to the way her life was turned upside down, you've heard that song making you think about it. You think about her response. Luke tells us the same messenger who visited Zechariah came to Mary. The same messenger told Mary she, a virgin, would have a child. interesting, impossible. She will call her son Jesus, which means God saves, and this child will rule over God's people forever in the line of David. You think about how impossible these things are as this young girl hears them. It would be a difficult message to receive, but her initial response is similar to Zechariah's. She says, well, how can this be? And the messenger responds, explains a little, and then she goes, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. She responds with this humble trust, this fear of God, that somehow what God has said will happen. And later when Mary, and her response at that point is the only wise response. To do anything else would be foolish. Later on when she meets her cousin Elizabeth, Luke records Mary's song, and as you read through her song, you can see how she is praising God for his deeds, praising God for his faithfulness. She says in Luke 1 verse 49, holy is his name. It's almost straight out of the psalm. Her response echoes Psalm 111. Both Zechariah and Mary responded in the only way that is appropriate to what God has done, praising him for his deeds, for his faithfulness, for his salvation. And so how, as we hear all these things, as we hear the story of Christmas retold, how do we respond to the Christmas message? The thought of God becoming a man in order to save sinners, it's unlikely, it's strange. It's not the kind of thing that the average person would think of or make up. But it's the way God does things. And it's amazing. And the only appropriate response for us is to wonder at the way God works and to join the psalmist in praising God for how amazing his works are, for his faithfulness, and for the way that he saves. Our praise, it could take the form of singing, like we've done this morning. It could be a prayer of thanks. It might be declaring God's goodness to other people. But at very, very least, our praise of God ought to be seen in the way that we live our life. We ought to acknowledge Jesus as our King, as God. Psalm 111 verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. The words of the psalmist, they were as true the day that he wrote them as they are today. Verse 9 speaks just as truthfully about the Christmas message. God provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. As you think about Christmas, as you think about what God has done, that he would save us undeserving sinners by sending his son into the world, we ought to marvel and we ought to praise him. I'm going to pray for us. Let's pray. Father God, you are powerful. Your works are majestic. God, you're faithful. Your precepts are trustworthy. And God, you're merciful. And your salvation is incredible and undeserved. Lord, thank you for sending your son, Jesus, into the world as a man. Thank you for his perfect, sinless life. Thank you for his obedient sacrifice in our place. Thank you for raising him to life and restoring him as the ruler over everything. Lord, this Christmas, please forgive us for the foolish way that we so easily fail to ignore you, that we so easily ignore you. Lord, please forgive us. And Lord, please teach us to give you praise in everything. Teach us to fear you and to worship you and praise you with all of our lives. In Jesus' name,